Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hola.
Hola.
Hootsiden.
Hootsiden.
How'd you say hello in Yoruba?
I mean, ekawo, akaso, akwole.
All of them things there. Bonjour.
Oui, oui.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Your Receipts. Mm. The very, very serious episode where we help you guys out with your problems, your issues, your dilemmas, and everything you're going through.
Who pissed you off? The fuck?
This is me trying to be a serious broadcaster.
Okay, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, we just want to help you guys out with your problems. We can see you're going through some serious things. And we are here to help and to assist in any way possible.
Yes, sir. Good to
take
go.
It away.
Okay, it's your girl, Tolly T.
And just call me Audrey.
Hello, firm and direct.
Firm and direct.
Audrey, I've got confession.
Fire away.
I betrayed you.
What did you do?
There was something we was meant to do together. That I've done on my own.
What in the snakery is going on?
I have been a snake.
What have you done?
I've started my swimming lessons.
Can you believe it?
I know. It was meant to be a group activity.
Wow.
Where we did it together.
Mm-mm.
But I was like, Audrey, it's not about this.
Come see betrayal.
She's just talking.
Come see, but you've actually started swimming lessons.
I've started my adult swimming lessons.
So you got over your fear of dogs without me. Now you're swimming without me.
I started my adult swimming lessons. So, therefore,
how's
I can be
going?
Taking a night of swimming then. How's since you don't
going?
Want to learn.
Yeah, no, I've been saying this since 20...
Yeah, exactly.
18. I think I first said I wanted to do this. But I'll forgive you. How's it going?
It's good.
Yeah?
It's actually good. My big thing is like my hair in it.
Mm.
But like I'm enjoying it. I'm like... holding on and like paddling away now. Because the thing is, ultimately, I can and should be able to swim. Right? Because I went swimming in secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
mm-hmm.
that's part of PE.
Yeah.
And I got my little coloured stripes that I used to like sew onto my swimming costume.
Do they still do that?
I don't know if the kids swimming. Still go swimming.
They still take the swimming.
That so was a I should great thing. Have a basic level. But mm-hmm. I think it's fear.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's what's been getting me.
Do you know what I find mad? Yeah. And I just... When like... So you see like if someone jumps off a paddling pool or whatever into the river or the whatever
like
it is.
Like open water.
And they're just floating.
Oh my, when I see people in open water, I'm like, you can't touch the floor. Are you not? You're
what are they doing? Because I would just
they're
go
floating.
Down.
They're floating.
But how?
Like their body's just like,
because
just
I
floating.
Just would not be able to do that. I would just dump.
Yeah,
I would
but
just go
you,
right
like,
down.
It teaches you that. It teaches you how to like float above water.
Mental.
Because I had a big thing about like swimming being embarrassing because it's so obvious you're trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I realized that's because I can't swim.
Mm.
When people can swim, it actually doesn't look like they're trying to stay alive.
No,
they're just
yeah, it looks
peacefully,
very,
like peaceful,
yeah.
scenic, and really lovely. And that's what I look like when I'm swimming. And I don't want to feel like I've swam, look back and see that the wall is still here. But in my mind, I thought
yeah,
I'd done
yeah, yeah.
And I'm still a touch away.
Yeah.
But yeah, apologies in advance, but it's for the greater good of us all.
No, I hear it. Go for it. I'm not mad.
So, yeah.
Because my truth is I may actually never do it. But the thing is, I want to, so I will absolutely learn how to swim, but apparently you've got to get in the water with them sometimes. So I'm just like, eek. But
I don't think you'd have to be like a seriously good swimmer because you'd be able to stand wherever you...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, she's literally a baby. So if I can't manage
that...
I'm
just a baby.
Then, yeah. But no, I love that for you. Well
so,
done.
Yeah. I am going to do all the things I said I'm going to do this year.
I think you'd be a really good swimmer.
I want to. I want to be able to swim in open water.
Yeah, I feel like you'll be really strong.
And like jump off like a boat.
Yeah,
and just like,
and do, like
and
honestly.
Just be free. The girls look so happy and free when they do that.
Like I've missed out on so many like memories on a girls trip and stuff because I was
just on
the boat
yeah.
and everyone was jumping. And you know that sometimes if you're on a boat, it stops so that you can,
yeah,
you
yeah,
can
yeah,
do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And,
I've
yeah.
jumped before but had a life jacket on.
No, I couldn't even do it with a life jacket.
Yeah,
I'd be
I've done it
so
a life
shook.
Jacket.
So shook. And then our friends Katie and Charisse, they like went swimming with sharks and stuff.
They
I mean, that's swimming 2.0.
No, but their diving experience looks insane.
It looks mad.
Diving
like, the pictures are insane. Like literally swimming with sharks and dolphins and stuff. But yeah, maybe one day I'll be able to just swim with the sharks. Oh, no, actually,
no
that's not good.
No, you
don't want
to
swim with the sharks.
No. That's what happens if someone kills you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Swimming the sharks.
I was thinking, I don't want to swim. No, God
you
forbid.
Will not be swimming
I don't
with
want
the
to
sharks.
Swim with the sharks.
Please speak good into your life. No swimming in that pool. You can swim in a pool.
I want to swim with the crabs.
I want my skill set to match my audacity.
Mm.
Because like
so
I'm quite audacious,
and
I'll just do
match
something.
It.
And
I hear
like,
it.
Like when I went to, what's that parasailing? I've been doing dumb shit in the water. Really.
What's parasailing again?
When you're just in the air and the boat just going.
I'm too scared to do that. I'm very
it
scared.
It was such fun. I was shook, but
it
was
looks
it was
so
much fun. And I would just want to be more audacious. And I think, and I think swimming is a life skill. I think 100%. Everyone should be able to swim.
100%.
But dilemmas?
Dilemmas, baby.
Okay. This is titled, which I love, WWTAD.
Ew.
What would Tolly and Audrey do?
Ah, we've made it.
Please make that a thing, honey.
We've made it.
WWTAD. Please use that and make it a thing. Anyway, it says, and I read, hi, Tolly and Audrey, long-term listener, first-time writer in. But I feel like I need to hear the opinion of my internet besties to try and figure out the way forward with this dilemma. You both have such measured and considered opinions on life, really. So hearing what you have to say would really help me to position this in my own head.
Okay.
I'm about to turn 38, engaged to my partner of 6 years, and just finished my sixth round of IVF. Oh. I'm sorry. My brain, body, and purse are tired. Our last round produced 3 embryos, one of which was transferred, but unfortunately didn't stick. So we have 2 more on ice. As you can probably guess, this isn't the first time a transfer hasn't worked. We have a male factor infertility due to the issue my partner had as a baby, meaning the sperm quality isn't the best. Just being able to make embryos has been a blessing, as there were times that we didn't think we'd get that far, but we have not been able to progress for a full-term pregnancy and having that beautiful little child we so lovingly long for. We're both pretty cute. Our babies will be adorable. Mm. Now my dilemma is, my partner is set on moving on to adoption if our last 2 embryos don't work, whereas I want to go to using a sperm donor. My eggs are fine and I have plenty of them despite my age. He feels like he couldn't handle raising a child that another man had to come in to help create because he wasn't able to. I feel like it would be a huge regret in my life if I didn't get to carry and nurture at least 1 child of my own. I'm happy to adopt after that, especially as my eggs are perfectly fine. Oh God. I love this man to bits and pieces. Mm. We have such a loving life together and we can't wait to be Mr. and Mrs. IVF has taken precedent over this. And having our child and starting our family is the only part of the puzzle that's missing. I can physically see the wants and needing him to be a father, and it breaks my heart that I can't do any more to make it so for him. I've told him that if we don't get put in with our last embryo, that he has to at least have counselling and speak to men that have decided to go with sperm donor and adoption to start their families to ensure he truly is informed before completely dismissing it as an option. But if he still feels that way afterwards, I have no idea what I'd then do. Walk away from the love of my life, or potentially live in regret of not having the biological child I've always longed for and I'm more than capable of producing. Thanks for taking the time to consider this. This is such a grown up dilemma.
This is really heavy. You know, when I saw the
WWTAD. You say it more confidently so people can be a thing.
Sorry. What was it?
Let's make fetch a thing.
Sorry.
WWTAD.
WWTAD, yeah. When I saw that, I thought it was going to be like banter, not banter, but like, not a serious dilemma. And obviously, this is really heavy. Like, there's so many, like, it's, you know, it's life changing things. And there's so many elements. You love him. You're so happy with your relationship. It's just this obstacle you're facing. Do you know what? Yeah, I feel like, I feel like it's tricky because the problem is kind of with him, right? Mm. And so he probably feels like he has more ownership over it, over like how you guys move forward, and he's adamant that he wants to adopt and you don't. Like, I completely understand the desire to want to have your own biological child. Like, I know people try and make it sound like you're selfish for wanting that. I don't think it's selfish at all. I think that's completely valid. And I know that, like, you guys are probably really stressed out. You're on your last two. I think it's, you know, I would probably start with trying to relieve yourself of the pressure of what these 2 last embryos mean, because that's a lot of pressure. And that's a lot of stress to be like, if this doesn't work, then it's basically over with. I don't think it is over with. I know you guys have been through a lot with it, but I think that I'm not really understanding his perspective, because I guess with the adoption, the child biologically isn't either of yours. So maybe he feels like it's a bit more balanced.
I don't understand is that, because if the issue is he doesn't know if he can raise a child that he didn't have anything to do with, that their creation, because that's what it is, that he's worried that the creation had nothing to do with him, the kid you adopt also has nothing to, you had nothing to do with their creation either.
But I feel like it feels more balanced because neither did she. Whereas with the other way, it's going to be another man's sperm in her. I mean,
oh, I don't know.
I'm just trying to put myself in his position and see where, to understand where he's coming from. Yeah. It almost feels like both of them, it feels a bit more level pegging because neither of them biologically have anything to do with this child. Whereas with a sperm donor, it's biologically hers and then the sperm belongs to someone else.
Okay, maybe I get that. But I think if the end goal is that we have a child, right? We both so badly are longing for this thing. And also, along with that long for you wanting to be a father, you also know that I long to carry a child. I'm able to and I want to. And this is an option for us. Why can't we do that option?
Yeah, I don't see why they can't do both. Because
I think you should be allowed to have the one chance to be. If you so desperately want to feel like you want to carry it physically in your body and that option's available to you, I think you should get to have that. I think you should get to have that. And she sounds like she's like, I would love to carry the first. And then after that, we can adopt as many as
you want. I feel like that's a perfect compromise because she's not completely against adoption at all. She's just saying that she also wants to do this. I think
and also, do you know it's easier to get to do sperm donor than to do adoption?
Probably.
As in a fact. Oh, it's actually easier to be able to do it. Because with a sperm donor, I think maybe all you really need to do a test, from what I know, that some of the people that have done it, you just need to have the funds. And I think maybe the difficult thing with a sperm donor is, if you are black, is finding black sperm. Black sperm is extremely hard to find in the
UK.
It's extremely hard to find in the UK. And there's so many research about it. One of the research is that sperm donor is more readily available to white women who buy up black sperm so they can have cute mixed race babies. That's actually like a fundamental thing. So that's scary. A thing. So then when it comes to black women wanting to get black sperm, they're unable to because it's been bought out, sold out.
That's crazy.
So there is that. So I think if you are black, maybe the issue might be finding sperm that is black. But I actually, it's an easier process. Again, this is like an experience that I know of, like as an actual fact. It's an easier process than it is to adopt. But yeah, I really want you to make it apparent that, like, hey, I'm not saying this for arguing's sake. The same yearn you have to be a father, I also really want to carry. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with having that deep desire to be like, my body's able to do this. You're able to produce all the things that you need to be able to do this. And if the only reason why he would prefer adoption is that so we're both not thinking, I don't know, that feels mad to me.
Yeah.
Because even if we were able to have the child as in the conventional normal way, I will still get to carry it.
Yeah. No, I definitely hear it. And I think that for me, that would be the better option. Like, yeah, the child wouldn't biologically be his. But yeah, if you adopt, the child wouldn't biologically be yours either. And none of that matters. At the end of the day, biology does not matter. What matters is the fact that you've got two people here who are financially, emotionally, and willing and want to be parents. And for me, like, it wouldn't necessarily matter how that came about. But this seems to be, it seems to be like a bit of a deal breaker for him, or he's giving an ultimatum. But yeah, I mean, I would just try to.
What would Tolly and Audrey do? What would Audrey do?
I would be doing everything. So we've got the two embryos. So we're God willing that
by the grace of God, you are in my prayers.
Same, honestly, that works out for you guys, and you can have your biological children and just go on and flourish and live life and be happy. I would also start doing the work for adoption because I know that process isn't easy, and I'd also be looking into a sperm donor. Like, I think, you know, it sounds like you both really want it. So if it were me, I'd be actively trying to do all things to make sure that we have a child at the end of it, ultimately. So that's what I would do. But I feel like everyone's kind of valid in their feelings. I feel like with something like this, it's so hard because it's so deeply emotive, and everyone's feelings are valid, you know? And I think for men, producing and stuff is so closely and deeply connected to manhood. And so I understand why he might be feeling away, and he shouldn't at all. It's got really nothing to do with like your manhood whatsoever. But of course, like, patriarchy and all of that stuff. But I understand that perspective. I understand where he's coming from. But I think what needs to happen is you just need to reassure him. And I'm sure you have. You sound like an amazing woman. Just reassure him that, like, listen, whatever deep-rooted fears you have about what a sperm donor is, don't worry about that. Like, you know, it's not more mine than it is yours. Like, we're in this together. I think you just maybe just need to reaffirm him a little bit. Because I feel like that's where the fear is coming from.
Yeah.
That, you know, he doesn't have a connection. Like, he biologically not connected to this child and it feels a bit uneven mm-hmm. kind of thing. So I would just really just try and emphasize and just be like, look, I'm not even... And just, yeah, just double down on what you've already said, didn't it? Like, I'm down to adopt after. Let's just do this. Let's just try it this way. And it's very much your child as much as it is mine. But it's so hard because it is so, like, it's just such a heavy emotive topic.
It is very emotive,
but I just really want you guys to become parents. It sounds like you'd be amazing parents. And I just really hope it works out for you.
I don't think you should leave him. I
think like this is
something
couple.
That we can, that you guys can work out. Mm. I don't think it's an end all fasting and prayer for those two embryos. Mm. And the thing is, I got what you mean in terms of, like, don't put too much pressure, but there is pressure on Mm-mm. it. Like, there is. Like, you, like, because so much depends on it sort of thing, right? Because by the grace of God, these two embryos take, and this argument is kind of void.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And that would be the ideal situation. Hey, we don't need to worry about situation. This anymore.
And that's the, yeah. But I do think what you said is really, really strong in terms of, like, yes, speak to other people who have experienced this. Don't just be like, I assume I would feel like this. Speak to other parents, other people, and then get more informed. Get a more informed ideology. Even you maybe speak to people who maybe have adopted and have also carried, people who have never got to carry and got to, like, get as many opinions and thoughts that you can so you can make the most informed decision that works for you guys as a family. I am praying for you. I wish you all the luck. And by the grace of God, when you are carrying your baby in your hands, please send us a picture because we're going to see it.
Yeah. A retweet, man. I wish you guys the best.
Right. Next dilemma.
Next dilemma.
This dilemma, so before you read it, is fascinating because I wasn't aware that our website was live.
Yeah,
and we hadn't told either. You that our website was live.
Some of you guys are very
proactive. Yeah, you guys have found the website and you started putting your dilemmas via the website. We haven't announced it at all.
We haven't even bloody checked it to make
sure. How have you found this website?
Do you know what? It might be someone that's new to us and then just assumed you had a website and then came across it.
How have they found this website?
Yeah, mad. So I looked at it thinking, this has come from the website.
Well done you. Hey,
you are proactive.
Well done you. But anyway.
Okay. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
You are both wonderful, stunning, and the most authentic gal.
Thank you.
I've been listening to you since my A-levels.
No, this is an old-time listener.
In it? Oh, yeah. So you are really proactive.
You've passed those A-levels.
No, I know you really have. You are an intelligent young person. I've been listening to you since my A-levels, through uni, in my big girl job, and when I have moved between great and bad years of my life. You have truly been my rock over the years, and I'm so happy you've returned now, bolder and better than ever. Keep doing the Lord's
work. Thank you, that's so kind.
So let's dive into my dilemma. Not so much mine, but something I worry about.
Okay.
My partner is the sweetest, most caring and compassionate man I know. I love him to bits and love our life together. We moved to London 2 years ago, and since this move, something has become clear. He has no friends.
Aww.
The love I have for my friends is everything to me. They are my favourite people and I truly cherish my friendships. I am fortunate to have lots of small and big groups of friends that make me so happy. From school friends, past workmates, uni mates, and I love them all dearly. All right, show off. I'm joking. My boyfriend has one friend that he texts every now and then to check in with. I have never met him and he has not seen him for 2 years.
Aww.
He had one really close mate at uni. He was 5 years older. And since his mate has moved in with his girlfriend, he no longer replies to my partner.
Aww.
He did reply a couple of months ago, but this was after 6 months of radio silence. When he stood my boyfriend up, that's a very different dilemma. When he stood my boyfriend up for a plan they'd made to get together, I was fuming that he treated my boyfriend like this. And I could tell my boyfriend is still really upset that their friendship isn't what it used to be. My boyfriend gets on with all my friends and they openly share how much they love him. When we hang out in big groups, he's very talkative and one of those people that makes instant connections with others and makes them feel great about themselves. I guess the dilemma is, should I be worried that he has no friends of his own? I want him to have someone he can talk to outside of my life, someone he can vent about me to, because I'm sure I can be a dick sometimes. I have brought up before that he should try to reconnect with old workmates or maybe join a sports team to meet new people in London, but he felt quite embarrassed about the conversation. situation and said it is hard to make connections in London. I feel bad when I have a month of plans of dinners, parties, trips with my friends and he has no plans of his own. I invite him to as many things as I can, but I also want that time with my friends away from him. Then I feel bad that he doesn't have anyone to see. For example, I'm going away next week with my friend and I know he likely won't see anyone those days. I'm away apart from when he's at work. I encourage him to message my mate that he is particularly close with and try to make plans, but he says that they are my friends and wouldn't want to feel like a beg. So yeah, not really a dilemma, but do you think I should be worried? Am I just reflecting this issue on him? Why are men embarrassed to make new friendships? How can I help him? That is so sad because he sounds like such a nice guy.
No, this is actually so sad. But also, has he told you he's bothered about it?
Mm.
You know, sometimes you start worrying about someone. I'm so concerned they don't have this, they don't have that. But is he upset about it?
Maybe he dropped them out.
Like, maybe that one friend he was upset about how that turned out. But is he someone that's like, oh, I wish I had more friends. Mm. I think if he says, I wish I had more friends, then you can encourage him more to push him to be like, hey, because I think if you said that he worries about it, I will tell my friends to reach out to him.
Mm-mm-mm.
Like my friends, I know he gets on with, I'll be like, oh, do you mind? Because he doesn't want to do it because he's quite shy, doesn't want to be a beggar or whatever. But if they reach out to him, I'm sure he'll reply, which I actually think is a viable option. Your friends that you know he gets on with, that they're cool with, I would ask them to be like, hey, can you reach out? Like, can you like ask him to go out or something? Because I think this is a fair thing to say to your friends. Like, you get on with him, I don't want him to be by himself, I want him to make new friends, and then encourage them to reach out to him, and then he'll feel more comfortable because it doesn't feel like he's a beg because they approached him. But this might not be something he's carrying.
Yeah, because not in one part of this dilemma does she say that he has complained about this thing. Yeah. I feel like it's you
you're projecting, kind of just, because you're
projecting
these,
exactly. Yeah. You're 100% projecting because you've got friends and you're assuming that everyone's the same way. Some people are not. Some people just are happy to have their girlfriend go to work, come home, watch their TV and go to bed. Like, he might be completely fine. So I think it's important to start there before you start labouring yourself with something that isn't actually a problem.
And you said when he's in groups, he's lovely, he's lively, he's not shy. So he's someone that's capable of making friends.
And that's what makes me think that this is a choice.
Yeah.
Because you said that he is the life and soul of the party when he's around other people. So he's not an introvert. He's not an awkward person.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is a choice.
And I get it, because of all the joy your friends bring for you, you're like, I want this for him too, blah, 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 blah. But have you asked him what he wants? Does this actually bother him that much? Are you taking paracetamol for someone else's non-headache? In fact, not even someone else's headache, someone else's non-headache.
Yeah.
So, you know, consider
I think
that.
She may be a little bit.
Yeah.
I think she may be. But, and also, you've also, everything that I would have suggested, you've already suggested, like the joining a sports team,
reaching
out to old colleagues, reaching out to current colleagues. Like, outside of that, I don't really know what.
I'm getting my friends to chat to him. Like, just be his friend, please.
Yeah, hang out with my man.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Mm.
Yeah, if you feel like it's actually something that's bothering him, reach out to your friends and be like, hey, do you mind messaging him and inviting him out?
Yeah, including him in things.
That's what I would do. Right, next dilemma. Let's go. Hi, ladies. Tolly, you are gorgeous in and out. You carry yourself how a true woman should, and I admire how strong you stand in your opinions. Thank you. Audrey, you are hilarious. Mm-hmm. Keep telling us all of your stories and jokes. They genuinely do make us laugh out loud. You are also an amazing woman and beautiful inside and out.
I know, that's right. Thank you, hon.
Right, let's get to it. I'll try and keep this short. No BS. I'm 23 and was with my ex 3 years ago for 10 months. Mm-hmm. I broke up with him because he was just a terrible person at the time. Cheating, controlling, manipulative, all that. We were 18 to 19 when we broke up and I haven't spoken to him since. Not even out of spite. He's known for being a weirdo and it's very embarrassing that I was with him.
Not known for being a weirdo.
It irks me that he can even say he had me before. Before we got together, I went to a party in a different city and met this guy there. He showed interest in me, and even though I was single, I was too into my ex at the time to show any interest back. I later found out that the guy was my ex's cousin.
Wait, what?
So before she got with her ex, she went to a party, met this guy, but she was kind of still, she liked her ex.
Mm.
But the guy showed that he liked her, but she wasn't that into
it. Okay.
So when me and my ex finally got together, we argued about his cousin quite a few times, and I always assured him that I would never go there. And even when given the opportunity to go there, before I knew he was potentially my man's cousin, I didn't. So why would I now that I'm with him?
Mm.
Fair. However, while we were in a relationship, I caught my ex texting another girl while lying right next to me.
So,
out of anger, I texted his cousin and had a flirty conversation with him. I was young and dumb and wouldn't do that now.
His cousin is an ops.
I then ended up dead in the conversation because I felt too guilty. Anyway, now it's 3 years later and I stalk his cousin all the time. His posts make me laugh so much. I genuinely think me and him would get along so well. I even think about the time that I met him at the party, even though it was years ago. I remember him making me laugh a lot. He was charming. Don't get me wrong. I know nothing serious can happen between us, but I just kind of want a bit of fun with him. It's just a crush. But then a part of me thinks it would look like I'm doing it to get back at my ex when I know I couldn't care less about him. I just want to know what you guys think. Am I subconsciously trying to get my lick back? Should I keep it as a crush and leave it alone? Thank you and love you. Baby girl, leave it.
This is family we're talking about.
Family. Family. We are family.
We are a family.
You must be
like,
family.
You need to allow it. Allow. Like, if this was allow. A rant, even if it was one of his homeboys, like, even that is team too much. But this is family. Like, you need to forget what you're doing. Yeah. This is just way too much.
Leave it.
And stop trying to justify, find ways to justify this behavior. This is his cousin. Stay away. Leave it alone. Pack it up. Hang it up flat screen.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Now you're out of time. Woulda, coulda. Can change your mind. Like, leave this man and his family alone. There are many other men that will make you laugh. I promise you.
And I don't even think it's really. It's the thrill. It's just. Yeah, you do absolutely want your lick back. Like 100%.
And also
100%.
Not even in a horrible way. Maybe it's the last guy that you know that showed interest in you. So you're like, wait, this one's there. Let me go back here. Feels like an easy one you can run to.
But it was also 3 years ago.
Sis, nah.
Pack it up, man.
Crush that crush, man.
In it.
Crusher.
Crush that candy, man.
Yeah. Let that shit go.
Let it go.
Absolutely. No. You're not tapped, but no, don't do that.
Okay.
Next dilemma.
That was quick. Next one.
Yes.
Another one using the website.
How?
Love that for us. Okay. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
I love the podcast so much, and even with the heaviest of topics, you always have me in wrinkles laughing. Aww. My dilemma is that I have recently met someone who's everything I've been looking for.
Nice.
He's kind, generous, intelligent, and open-minded.
Okay.
He's also tall and has big feet.
Okay.
big feet.
Big dick.
The sex has been getting hotter and hotter.
Oh.
And he's got it all. Gentle, spontaneous, dominant. Whatever I want, he has the mood.
Okay.
However, it says, please say it in the voice. This man has the most distressing cum noise I have ever heard. It's like a seal that has been punctured and is taking its dying breath. When he comes, he makes the sound at least 5 times.
Oh.
It is the least sexy thing I've ever heard.
Oh.
Can I ask him to be quiet? How do I tell him that this noise makes me want to join a silent order of nuns? Please help before this ruins a potentially beautiful relationship.
Baby, only you can ruin this potentially beautiful if you don't cover your ears.
Do you know what I mean? What do you mean? I just match the energy. Just be like, and we can both be crazy. We can both be crazy together.
Cannot let a man's cum noise stop. This is what happens when people have it too good.
You start looking for things.
Yes,
also,
start looking for things.
I want to be appreciated for my good work. I'm sorry. Like, the fact that he does all of that.
If you don't fucking scream.
Like, bro.
You tell me you are a silent cummer.
I hate that shit.
Get out of here.
I hate that.
If you don't shout to high heavens.
Exactly. If you don't start hitting that Mariah Carey note.
Start slapping
and
the bed.
Start doing the most and shaking. And shaking the table.
Shake that fucking bed. At the very least, if I don't hear
or a quick
fuck, if I don't hear when you, if at the least you don't give me a fuck, I'm gonna say shit.
Exactly.
Because the fuck?
Don't make her use a boxing moves, man.
And I told you I'm boxing.
Like, come on.
I told you.
This is like the other girl that was complaining about the height. Like you guys have got it good.
That noise is a round of applause.
You said...
It's going to be to take your standing ovation.
He is kind, generous, intelligent, open-minded. He's also tall, has big feet. The sex has been getting hotter and hotter. He's got it all. Gentle, spontaneous, dominant. Whatever I want, he has the moves.
I ran out of fingers of all of his good qualities, babe. I ran out of fingers of what? All of this man's good qualities.
And I'm not being funny, but the cum face is for what? 3 or 5 seconds?
What, so 5 minutes? Okay, so let's say that noise lasts for 5 seconds. He does it 5 times. 15 seconds
of your life.
But you can't handle it.
No, man. Sis, come on.
Loud to the music when you're having sex then so you don't hear it.
Like, turn your face. Cover your ears. Do what you need to do. But there's nothing, but I'm not going to go tell no one and knock his confidence. Next thing he starts holding back
on the
back on the goodness.
That sound is a round of applause.
I love that.
I
relish.
Love
a vivacious.
Scream, ask for your mother. Like,
is vivacious
like,
a word?
What?
Vivacious.
Yeah. I don't know if it's that word for that. It's a word.
I love energy. Let's just put it that way.
Scream,
I love energy.
If you want to go
Scream if you
want to
go faster.
Don't let this man express his joy, okay? Mm-hmm. Eat it, man. I'm sure there's things about you. Maybe you eat funny. Maybe he doesn't like that. As in, like, it's not. Come on.
We're not all perfect, man.
I ran out of fingers for his good things. Exactly. Come on. No, don't say anything to him. Like what you said, that's not fair.
It's not right.
Because then he'll start holding things in and he won't want to...
Exactly.
You know.
You won't be free.
Get it all out.
Then you'll be writing back to say that the sex has declined.
Why would it not? Because you've cut his ego down. So please, just take it. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. You'll be fine.
Precisely.
Next dilemma. Okay. Hello, lovely ladies. I've been loving your podcast for years. I so have to take this opportunity to give you your flowers. Thank you for bringing joy and entertainment to us twice a week now. Aww. I pray God continues to bless you and you only experience the best things that life has to offer. Amen. Thank you. My dilemma is actually rooted in good news.
Okay.
I'm absolutely overjoyed that my partner proposed last week.
Congratulations.
This man is the love of my life and the living embodiment of everything I want in a husband. Loyal, sexy, belly ache funny,
damn.
Generous, thoughtful, understanding, family orientated. The list really could go on. I was honestly so happy and excited when he proposed that. Only now that I can understand when Audrey experiences her happy panic attacks.
Oh, I love it for you.
This is the most joyous and exciting time of my life. However, my mom's life basically fell apart 10 years ago. Without going into too much detail, she's going through a divorce after a dirty troll did her really, really dirty. She deserves so much better than the cards that she was dealt. Mm. Understandably, she's taken it badly, but my issue is that it feels like every time we speak, her breakup and or family estrangement is a big topic of conversation. To give some context, our friendship hasn't ever been a friendship, more of a traditional mother-daughter relationship. Mm. I look up to my mother and love her so much. I feel bad because I'm an emotional sponge. The morning after we got engaged, she called me. In the first 20 to 35 minutes, she was her crying to me about her situation. It was then put on me to cheer her up with my good news, which I couldn't. She probably didn't realise I was close to tears because... she doesn't deserve this. I want to add that I've spoken to her about the effect it's having on me a few times before getting engaged. A couple of times it got better, then gets heavy again. Mm. She has started therapy, started a home upgrade hobby too. She said she speaks to friends, but I don't know if she offloads onto them or goes into every detail as she does with me. It's really heavy for me. She often says I'm all that she has and gets extra upset when I don't have the time to go to hers for dinner or... to have a last minute event. Lovely Tolly and Audrey, how do I enjoy this time in my life and be there for my mum at the same time? My fiance says that he often hears me talking about her in my sleep. I want to enjoy this time and obviously want my mum back. I love my mum so much, but am I an arsehole for feeling like I want distance? I don't know how I could put distance in a place knowing she's struggling either. P.S. When I said I love your pod, I meant it. I've shared it with pretty much all my girlies, including my mum. So my mum will probably hear this if you do read it out. So sorry if it's long. I really tried to keep it short. Love, happy, and sad. So I think I might have said 10 years. Her mum broke up, had a divorce 10 months ago, not 10 years ago.
Damn, she's really sent a bat signal. She even sent a dilemma so her mum could get the message. Like, that's when you know you really want to
I often get some talk about this idea of this umbilical cord that many women, including myself, have with their mothers, how so often we live through their experiences. And it's like we're retelling their stories, especially women who are very close to their mums. they like live life via their mother's experiences, their mother's thoughts, their mother's happiness, like so much so that their mother's sadness will affect them. And I'm very much an emotional sponge as well. I could be having the best time of my life if any member of my family, mum and my sister especially, are not going through something good. That happy thing doesn't matter. Like, all I can think about is their thing. But I want you to know that, like, what it sounds like, your mum wants you to be happy. Your mum wants you to experience this joy. Your mum wants you to, like, have a good time. And also, even if she doesn't want you to, you deserve it. You deserve to feel joy. You deserve to be happy. And I think it's really important that, like, life is... I completely stole this from my therapy, right? When I first started therapy, I was just like, I just kind of want to be fine. I just want to feel like this. I just feel like I'm always like this and I want to feel fine. And her theory was, she was like, this is flatline. This is dead. Life is going to go up and down and up and down. And like, two things are going to happen at the same time. Two things can be true. You're going to have things that are going really, really well and sometimes have not great news alongside it. I've had some of the most exciting things happen to my life while simultaneously dealing with my mum being very, very sick. Things happen, and when it comes to your feelings, you kind of have to choose it. You, like, I think being sad can be really overwhelming and it takes up so much space and so much energy, and sometimes sadness becomes a comfort thing because you're just so used to how that feeling feels, that happiness feels almost weird to you. That happiness feels like something you're almost performing, but you deserve to be happy. You're going through an extremely joyous time, and I think it's worth saying to your mum that obviously you want to be there for her and you're so happy for her. But it's really affecting your mood as well. Like, it's really, really getting you down. And you would just love just to... And it's a hard conversation to have. Someone's going through something. You're like, hey, you're really affecting my mood here. So maybe don't say that. But I think... Okay, don't say that. But I think limit it. Maybe you don't have to talk to your mom every day about her issue. Do you get what I mean? Like, just limit how often that you do chat to your mum about it is what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's such, such good advice and just such a good point about... life just being a roller coaster.
Like,
it really, really is. And I think actually what you said is so true. I think one of the toughest parts of adulthood is learning how to allow happiness to coincide with the shit times, because there's always something going on. And I think so many of us are more comfortable living in fear and sadness because it just feels safer.
It's easier, it's safer
because then you don't,
it's without hope.
You're already in the worst, so you can't anticipate the worst. When you're happy, you feel like there's something that's going to drag it down, and something that's going to bring it down, so we tend to not sit in that. And I feel like that's just standard for life, but you actually do have something to be very happy about right now. And if there's any time, it's to celebrate is now, because you won't get this time back again. Do you know what I mean? You've got to enjoy it in the moment, in real time, as it's happening live and direct kind of thing. And I think when it comes to your mum, like, yeah, absolutely. Just put a pause in her stuff. Like, especially when we're so used to being like a rock for someone or being there for someone, and we're consuming a lot of what they're going through, we kind of just become used to it, and you know, we internalize it so much. But like, right now you've got this thing you want to be happy about, so no one's saying that you're not going to listen to your mum anymore. She can't come to you, you can't be a rock, of course, that's your mum. But for right now, like, just really try to just revel in this moment. Like, look at how you described this person. Like, you're so happy, you're so in love with him, and don't begrudge yourself of that. Do you know what I mean? You absolutely deserve to feel joy at a joyous time. Now's the time to be really happy and to celebrate. Yeah. And I think your mum will completely understand. Again, I don't think that you need to go up to her and be like, oh, I don't want to talk to you because I want to be happy.
You can't.
Because that's mad. But there is a way in which you can navigate it so that
you're not taking it in so much
and you're not on the receiving end of all of that.
Could you just suggest to me, like, oh, mum, let's do a fun day. Like, we just, like, we do a day, a distracting day. So you premise it as that. Let's do a distracting day where we just go out, have a good time. So then that way you get to be there for her, in terms of be there for her, but don't actually
physically
have to focus
on this
awful time that she's going through. Because I'm 100%. Sure it's awful, like going through a divorce, having a shit time. Like, it must be really sad for her.
And I don't think, I'm sure, like, she doesn't want to be talking about it all the time anyway. So I think that this joyous occasion is the perfect thing to use as a distraction.
Yeah.
Like, turn it around. Every time it goes down a sad road, bring this up.
Yeah.
Mum, what are you going to wear? We need to think about your mother of the bride. Like, that's a big boy role. Like, what are you wearing? Like, how are you doing your hair? Like,
get her
excited about that instead. And I just feel like time heals all wounds. Like, at the end of the day, the divorce is still kind of fresh. She's still going through it and she will get better. But yeah, I don't think that you should park your joy and your happiness in in not favor, but you know, in the place of what your mum's going through, that's not right.
And you're not saying she does this, but like, I think sometimes when that's happening and these things happening, some people might have the tendency to be like, make you fearful of your marriage. Oh, be careful. Oh, you know, you never know. You never know. I don't. You didn't say your mum does that, but don't let any negativity spoil this moment for you. Don't let any negative chat about what relationships are, what marriage is, ruin this moment for you. Like, you deserve to be happy in this moment. Like, honestly, like, you deserve to be happy. Mm. Like, and it's okay to actually indulge yourself and immerse yourself in that happiness. Because you know what? Even if you don't let the happiness in, it doesn't make a sad time less sad.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, and so you can prep for the worst all you want. It doesn't make it less sad. You're still going to cry and be sad about it. So indulge in the happiness.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't let them take your joy.
We have so little of it,
be
man.
Be stubborn with your joy. Yeah. And there's many things I'm very stubborn with, and my joy is one of them. Be stubborn with it.
I totally agree with that. Repost.
Retweet.
Next dilemma. Hey, girls.
Hello.
I will start by saying how incredible you are. You inspire me every day and have taught me so much. More blessings to you both.
Amen.
So my dilemma is, I want to ask one of my best friends to be godparents to my children. I have two friends who I would class as best friends. The friend I want to ask has made loads of effort with my baby since they were born and is always asking to see them and showing interest in them.
Nice.
My other friend is someone I have been friends with since I was a child and I've grown up with. I class her as my best friend, but we have somewhat drifted apart, and I feel especially since I had my babies. She doesn't particularly make much effort with them. She has seen them, but she never really suggests doing anything with them or popping round. I know it's not totally one-sided, and I have asked her to do something to show that it is something we are up for if she wants to. I don't know whether I want to ask this friend to be a godparent, but I feel so guilty about it. I think a godparent should be someone who makes the effort with your children, but I know if I don't ask her, she will be so hurt and feel like I'm being cruel. But I also feel like I've been a bit of a people pleaser my whole life, and I want to correct that, especially when it comes to my children. But I do feel like I'm being nasty, especially as my friend who I'm closer to only really became my friend through the other friend. Should I ask them both, or am I thinking about it a bit too much? Thank you so much for any advice.
I love direct dilemmas like this. One of them easygoing. I have a clear answer in my head. I believe godparents should be the person who's going to be best for your child.
Period.
To make that your main decision.
Period. Yeah.
Whoever I think is going to be in the best interest of my child is who I'm making godparents. And I only know that by efforts that have been made. Like, godparents, like, I've got close friends who are unreliable, not because they're bad people, but just because of how they live their lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, as in, if any of my closest friends don't make me a godparent, I promise you I'm not going to be like, because I'm somehow, like I said, I am a great friend or whatever, but I can decide today that I move into anywhere in the world and that's what I want to do for a while. I don't really like, so this was responsibility, because ultimately the godparent is, if anything happens to you, this person can take and look after your child. Ultimately, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
And if you're a Christian, is that how the person works with the Lord or whatever? Do what's best for your youth.
Definitely.
It's not a best friend title thing. It's what's going to be best for my... The title you have is my best friend. But maybe my best friend is not woman to my godparent. Even at the time when I initially wanted bridesmaids, when I got married, I don't want bridesmaids anymore. I'd always thought, I'm picking people who are best for the job. Not people I think, oh, but they're my best friend.
Yeah.
If it's like, I know this person doesn't know how to be a rock. I'm not picking them to be my bridesmaid.
Yeah, facts. Facts. And I feel like people on the receiving end, I guess the general public... Grow up.
Like, you know what grow I mean? Up, like, man.
Grow up, like, get it together.
Use people for what they're good for. It's,
yeah, like, get it together. Like, I just cannot imagine a world where someone that I'm really close to has a child and they don't pick me to be godparent. And I'm visibly... Yeah, I'm not a robot. I might be like, oh, that would have been nice.
I know
but
myself.
But exactly, but I'm also not going to make them feel bad. So I understand that it's a really, really tricky situation.
Yeah.
You never understand that fully the dynamics of other people's relationships and why they've gone with that person and et cetera, et cetera. I would never, ever make anyone feel guilty about it. It's completely your decision and people should just learn to respect it. But the fact that you're even considering making them both, like you said that you don't want to be a people pleaser anymore. Use this as like a stepping stone to change behavior. This is a massive, massive thing. You don't just want to give someone that title because you feel that they might be upset.
Yeah.
That's not a good enough reason to make someone a godparent. You're a godparent because you're active, and I feel like I can entrust you with my children if God forbid something were to happen to me. So yeah, I feel like that should be the only metrics. Like Tolly was saying, you might be a great best friend, but you might not be a godparent material. That's absolutely fine. We can't wear all hats in life. Get over it. So yeah,
and also, I'll be damned if I made one friend the godparent, the other friend comes to ask me, "How come you didn't make me?" I'll ask her to ask herself.
Yeah, I'll just be like, "Well,
babe."
Then you have to start checking people and be like, "Well,
babe,
when was the last time you came round?
Yeah,
when was the last time you bought diapers? Like, don't we can
like,
both
babe,
do
like,
this?
Yeah, like, babe, I'm not offended, like, but I'm doing what's best for the kids.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like at the end of the day, we can both play that game if that's what it comes to. But I just think respect people's decisions. Like, don't get in your feelings.
I don't
about
think
it.
It's a best friend title
it's,
thing.
Exactly.
I honestly think it's who you think mm-hmm. will be best for that mm-hmm. job. I mm-hmm. like I highly believe that so much. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's because all I've known this person since secondary school, which means I know their character. I know that they don't have it in them to spare all the time mm-hmm. in the world to drop mm-hmm. of a hat to do this. And that doesn't make them a bad person. It's just not how
it's
they
just,
are.
Yeah, it's just not your job. It's not all jobs we get, right? Like you go for a job, you might not get
it's
it.
It's not
this,
how they
this
are.
This is just not your job. Your role is you are fantastic as my bestie. You are fantastic as my wingman, but that doesn't translate into godparent material. And that's completely
like
fine.
I've got a goddaughter. Love that girl to bits. I cannot wait till she's a teenager because we can really buzzle
That's
and have a good time.
Really have
now, we're having a great time now. When that little girl's a teenager, best of time of our lives. Because that's what I like. That's the action I want to be called for.
Yeah.
She want to tell her mum this. Don't worry, baby. Come and call me. Mm. You want me to pick you up from a club? Call me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I take that title very seriously.
Oh my God, same.
You know.
And I don't want anyone to be naming me anyhow.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't. Yeah, I take it seriously.
How many people you got parents to?
One officially.
Yeah.
Officially. Who? Like I'm Mahalia.
Ah.
Yeah, my little Bree. That's my one of my best friends. And I believe I'm the only godmother as far as I'm aware. But if I'm showing the title, Ems let me know. And then our little Ishi, but we're like honorary.
Oh yeah, God, I am too. Yeah. I got two godbabies.
So
me and Audrey are godparents.
We're honorary godparents
to the same child.
Our little Ishi. So
that means we're a couple.
Yeah,
Audrey.
We're finally, the rumors are true.
rumors
are true.
We're fucking.
So I take it. I take it very seriously. And
I'm beginning to take it seriously. Do you want everybody in the world to be naming you godparents willy nilly?
No.
Like, please.
Please. At the same time,
please
make it make sense. Okay. But that's my thoughts on it. I just think people should not guilt trip people into their, you know, for the decisions they make about their life.
Yeah.
Like, it's so annoying. It's like, why are you going to be in your feelings?
Yeah,
somewhat,
use
like,
this as a practice
it.
Of you not being a people
don't
pleaser.
Don't do them both because that is a cop-out.
Yeah, it's a cop-out. That is a cop-out.
So don't
that. It's a cop-out.
Don't.
Because, like, not being a godparent doesn't mean you don't, you're not in my child's
exactly.
life.
Exactly. And you can still be a godparent if you really want to in your
you
mind.
Can still
she
be
just
actively
might not
in my
standing
child's
at the front
life.
At church.
Exactly. That's and that's it. And the last one, again, from the website. You know what? Hi guys,
we have a website.
TheReceiptsPodcast.co.uk where you can send your dilemmas live and direct, and there's updates and there's a mailing list that's going to be up there that you can, you know. But yeah, there is a website since mm-hmm. some of y'all got there so quickly.
Exactly.
Right, dilemma. Hey girls,
hey
I just want to start by saying thank you for everything you do.
Oh.
I moved abroad last year and have been listening consistently to help me get over my feeling of homesickness.
Oh.
I'll jump straight in as this has been playing on my mind recently. For context, last year I moved abroad to start a teaching job. I absolutely loved it and was thriving. Whilst I was there, I met a guy. Let's call him Ben. Ben worked at the school and his girlfriend also worked in the same school. He didn't tell me when we first met that they were together. Anyway, we ended up going out for a drink one night and things escalated. I asked him on that night if he had a girlfriend and he said it was complicated.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Did that stop you? I've heard rumors around the school that this man was in a relationship, but I ignored them that night and we slept together.
I bet you did.
After that night, he said he regretted what we did. But that didn't stop us from continuing. We would FaceTime most nights, talk about life, and do naughty things on the phone behind his girlfriend's back.
My eye bone.
I became the other woman, basically. I would go into school every day and say hello to him and her like nothing had happened. Mm-hmm. As I type this now, I realize how bad this was, but I really liked him. And I was justifying my own actions in my head by saying that I was doing it because I liked him and it was his relationship to be responsible for, not mine. We would go for drinks after work and kiss in secret and had an amazing time sneaking around with him. So after 4 or 5 months of sneaking around, his girlfriend confronted him and asked him about me, saying she had heard rumors about us.
Salacious.
Even my boss pulled him into the office
the
to warn him that rumors were going around school. Guess you guys weren't being as secret as you thought. I have no idea how people find out. But anyway, we met for a chat in a bar. I cried a lot and we decided to call things off. After all of this, we were still flirting in school. And at the leaving party, he told me he loved me. The thing is, this ended December 2023 when I left my job. I still live in this country, but I don't work at the school anymore. And I'm now in a relationship with a committed, amazing man. I still think about this though. I think, do you think I should tell his girlfriend this has happened?
So what? Wait, scratch. What?
Don't piss me off.
What?
Would you want to know? Don't piss me off. Or is my motives for telling her selfish to break them up? Do I really care about her? For context, she ended up hating me because she thought I was trying to steal her man.
She was
what
right.
I already had.
Ooh.
Is the situation old and done? I screenshotted every single mess. Oh, you side girls.
Going in my phone.
You side girls. I screenshotted every single message and I have pictures on my phone that could be used as solid evidence. Why did you need evidence? What did you need evidence for?
The girl wasn't really suspicious,
like,
goddammit.
What did you need evidence for? Now in a relationship and I'm thinking, if my man did this, I would want the other woman to come forward and tell me.
No, you wouldn't. You just want to do it. Don't lie.
They are still together now and I'm not sure if I would just be ruining everything for no reason as it's over for so many thoughts. Help. Let me know what you think. P.S. I know this is bad and I would not be doing something like this again. Judge away. I'm not even judging you for being the side girl. I'm not even judging all
it's
of that.
Because after the math. After
I think math. Loads of people... Do you know what I watched? When I was watching Love is Blind, Love Reunion, people were shouting at that girl for taking
that
Laura's
Sarah
man.
Lee or whatever
and I'm like, shut up. Women are actually full of shit when it comes to that thing and nobody can tell me different. I do not believe there's any woman who she likes that guy enough. She doesn't give a heck if he's got a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I've met the most higher than thou... morally grounded people and they have done it because they've justified it with that, well, I like him. All of this girls, womanhood, how can you tell them? Shut
it's
up,
conditional.
It's conditional. You only judge it when it's not you who's involved in it. When you're involved in it, somehow it's okay.
You can find all the excuses.
All the excuses for it to be okay. But what I don't like is that if you know you're doing that, you know you're doing wrong, why are you screenshotting conversations?
Mm.
That means that there's always kind of like inner thinking you that thinks one day I'm going to blow his shit up.
Yeah.
One day I'm going to expose him. Why are you doing that? I don't get it. Like, what? Don't you fucking dare go to that woman and move. Like, what for what?
And she's already suspicious, so I don't really understand why you want to go and further the suspicions. Like, sis, your intentions are not pure.
They're not
so
pure, they're not good,
if you're
they're
asking
bad.
Us, like, if we think that your intentions are bad, yes, that's a hard, hard yes. Not one part of you cares about this woman.
And also, you're actually being nasty because you're in a happy relationship.
Exactly. Like, I couldn't even get my head around it because... this is what happens when you fuck with a guy with a girlfriend. There's a very strong possibility that he's going to stay with the woman and you're going to get left in the dust. That's kind of the price you pay when you're a side chick, right? But you have to just hold that. Like, it's not now for you to go and ruin someone else's shit. Like, you've done enough. Like, it was sleeping with the girl's man, not enough.
If it's like she was bitter that they're still together and she's single and sad, so fuck it, I'm going to done everyone's dance.
Yeah.
That I could even almost get.
Mm. But you've met a great guy, hon.
Met a great guy. You've left the school. There's actually no connections.
None. So out of the blue, you're going to go and just fuck shit up out of the blue because you're still thinking about him.
She's not even thinking about him as like, oh, I still love him. She's thinking about it like, oh, I want to tell the girl.
But
for
what?
Why?
But I find that hard to believe that that's not connected to still having feelings for him, because if you're happy and you've moved on, why is that still bothering you? You should be happy that you never got caught and just be grateful that you've met someone else, you've moved on.
Yeah. What's the logical reason why you want
no
to
There's no logic. Like, you're pissed that there's... I think she still has feelings for him and she wants to ruin it. There's not one part of you that cares about that girl, because you even said a shady comment when you were like, oh, she was worried that I was going to steal her man, but I didn't steal her man. So you don't fuck with her. You don't like her. So there's not one part of you that's coming to her as a woman for, I don't think anyone ever comes as a woman for good reason ever. It's always to absolve.
When it comes to consequences, I'm a girl. I'm not even a woman. Don't come to me as a fuck.
Exactly. I'm just a girl.
In fact, I'm a goat. Don't come to me for shit.
Yeah.
Don't tell me shit. I don't want to know. Especially when something that's done.
It's done. It's been over.
It's done.
It's been over.
If you told her during it fair, it's done. Mm-hmm. It's over. Mm-hmm. You have moved on. You've left the school. There's nothing keeping you guys together anymore.
Nothing.
You didn't even say he still messages you.
Yeah,
you didn't
exactly.
even say he's still trying to move
it
to you.
Sounds like
none
it's
of that.
I think she just itches at the fact that they're still together. I think that pisses her off. But that's something.
Maybe it's guilt.
You need to. No, it's not guilt. It's like It's jealousy. It's bitterness about them still being together. I don't know. You want to blow your shot, but it's not for any good. So I think you should really just leave it alone.
Leave that man alone.
Leave it alone. Leave him alone. Be grateful that you guys just didn't get caught. Be grateful that you met someone else that you actually really like. Don't go sabotaging that. Think about the bigger picture of what happens when you go to blow everyone's spot up. Like, nothing good is going to come from it.
I just be resting on a random Tuesday.
You know what I mean? Just,
bam, she's got texts. So, you know, your man's cheating on you. Here's all the evidence.
What's the texting now?
I don't even know. My phone's always on silent. But somehow her phone will ring and now you've done her dance for no reason.
Just
for the girl to be
suspicious,
she knows what her man's capable of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She probably already knows anyway. Leave
and you're
her.
Probably not the only... And she really knows of you. She ain't fuck with you,
yeah,
remember? So she's,
leave her alone.
She knows enough. You don't need to go and put the final nail in the coffin for what? Like,
leave that girl alone.
Yeah, leave
if
her alone.
If your justification is, oh, you feel guilty because, you know, you've got a boyfriend now, and if your boyfriend was cheating, you would like someone to tell you, okay, wait till your boyfriend cheats and someone come and tell you then.
That's you.
Put that in your prayers.
Yeah, that's...
And your hopes
that's
and dreams.
On you.
Give that to someone else. Yeah, leave this woman alone. Leave that man alone and let them have their lives, and you are in a happy, committed relationship. Folk... Do you just want drama in your life?
Was it not
are you
bad?
Bored?
Was it not bad enough that you were fucking a man? What, like, what?
I think some people actually thrive in film and drama.
Now you want to see her crumble. Like, that's really messed up, man. Like, you're fucking a man, cool, you got away with it. Shit happens, you fell for him, shit happens. But now you want to go and add fuel to the fire and make her feel even lower.
Add pepper to the wound.
And she's probably already hella paranoid. Because you said that she had some suspicions about you guys. She's already paranoid. She's in this relationship. She's probably already unhappy. Because once trust is broken, it's really like shaky territory. And now you think it's a good idea to go and further that by telling her some old tea. Some cold stale tea.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone. There's no need. There's nothing good that will come
out
of this.
If it comes to me as a woman, even if I don't know, I'd be like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just be like, yeah, I know, thanks.
We're
working through it. I'm cheating on him
you
too.
You will you'll never see me sweat. Yeah, I know, actually. Yeah,
because that's all that is.
We're actually an open relationship.
That's all that is. Like,
oh yeah, he told me about you. Are you? Oh yeah, he said.
Oh yeah, you're that girl.
Oh, you're that girl.
Oh, yeah, he said that. Yeah, he said that you were. He was fucking you.
Yeah.
It was really easy.
Oh, I hope you had a good time with him.
Yeah. Because don't pretend that you're doing me a solid. You're not. You don't give a shit about me.
You don't give an eck about me and my well-being.
You just want to see me crumble.
Like all of this, oh, women's club. Leave me alone.
Mm. Yeah, let me be ignorant and bliss, man.
Okay. But that is it for
that's
these dilemmas.
Ooh,
we hope you were able to help. As you know, by these people who are very smart people, get on there. We have a website where you can actually put your dilemmas in and it comes straight to us. It's thereceiptspodcast.co.uk. There's more to come on that website. This is how wasn't we planned to announce
I
it.
I know, but announcement.
But announcement, here we are. But yeah, that is it.
That is all, folks.
Have you got any lasting thoughts, feelings, advice, anything?
No.
But
however, no, I think I'll save it for another episode.
Oh,
I'll save it.
It's juicy.
Yeah,
I have nothing to say.
Yeah,
my
too.
Work here is
done.
I will now go back to my solace little cave where I don't speak to anybody for the week and pop out on a Wednesday to talk. I've been your girl, Tolly T.
And just call me Audrey.
Goodbye.
This episode was brought to you by Spotify.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
That's a whole different song.